First of all, as I've said before, it's a great privilege to be here on Christmas Day to be able to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. It's not just about, well, it's not about Santa Claus at all, is it? And it's not about just, one of the things that was brought out in our Sunday school lesson. There's a lot of folks nowadays that want to kind of neutralize Christmas and make it where it's, rather than say Merry Christmas or having Christ in it at all, it's just happy holidays. We'll just throw it all together. That means Hanukkah. That means a whole bunch of other things. But happy holidays. And we want to clearly understand that there is a true meaning of Christmas. And we want to understand that true meaning. And we desire that the Lord would give us a greater understanding of what it means to celebrate this time of year. I want you to help me out for a moment. When it comes to Jesus, you're thinking about the Lord, what words would you use? Or who he is, who Christ is. Let's just put it in that term. Who the Lord is, what comes to your mind? There are many scriptures that we read, but I'd like just to, before we start the reading scriptures, I'd like to know what's on the mind of the people of God. What comes to your mind when you think about Christ and who he is?
Friend.
He's a friend. Okay.
Friend.
He's gracious.
Savior.
Huh?
Savior.
Savior.
Patient.
Yeah. Patient.
Comforter.
Redeemer.
Redemption.
Redeemer.
Faithful.
Lord. Healer. What was that?
Lord. Gateway to heaven.
Gateway to heaven.
Of kings.
King. Almighty. Of kings. Huh?
Almighty.
Almighty.
Counselor.
Counselor. Prince of Peace. Peace. We learned about that in our Sunday school lesson today, didn't we?
Thank you, Lord.
A newborn king.
Newborn.
King.
A new king.
Just.
Just.
Teacher.
These are all things that Jesus is. Anything else you want to bring up?
Deliverer.
He's a deliverer. Good one. Son of man. God. Son of man, son of God. This is who Jesus is. I believe everything that we say and more. He's far more than that. Anything that we need him to be, he is our all in all. That's what he is, isn't he? All in all. So everything that we could even imagine, Jesus is everything to us. Now, when you take into consideration that's the gift, these things, I believe probably some of the things that were brought out is experiences that we have. So in other words, somebody says he's a friend. All of us need a friend. No, there's nobody here that doesn't want somebody that they can lean on, somebody that they can talk to, somebody that understands where they're coming from. Jesus is that. Every single person in here needs a Savior. Every single person that has ever been born into the world needs somebody because we are on this we were on this downward track, and Jesus came. He was born, the Son of Man, the Son of God, to be the Savior of the world. Your Savior, my Savior. That's something that's extremely special to us. Patient. Somebody that is patient. Somebody that is kind. Somebody that's like a friend. A comforter. All of us go through times that we need comfort. I thought about how the request comes in oftentimes, and it came in this today. How pray for those that are bereaved. And at these particular times in our the holiday seasons, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, these kind of times, when you get with your family, you begin to miss even more those people that are not with you anymore. And so we need somebody to comfort us. We need somebody to give us a comfort in those times. And I know of different individuals that oftentimes one of the things that we have done in the past, it seemed like our our family kind of centered around our mother, and we miss her very much at this time of the year. So we need comfort. The Lord gives us comfort. He gives us everything. The healer, the sister came to the altar today, wanted to be prayed for. She testified. The sister testified about how the Lord has touched her on various occasions. We need a healer. We need somebody that is faithful to us, somebody that redeems us from the trouble that we get in. Do you realize that all of us get into trouble and we have to be bought back by the Lord because of the things that we've done? May the Lord help us. Now, I want to say, I want us to turn to a scripture. I wanted to bring out these words and the meaning of these words. The Son of Man and the Son of God. When we talk about, and we're going to read that in a little bit, but we talk about the Son of Man, God and the Son of Man, that's who Jesus Christ is. Part God, part man. Part human, part divine, you might say. And he gives us the understanding and the liberty that we too can be divine, just like he is. All right? John 1:14. We want to read that first. John 1, verse 14. You have it, read it for us.
And the Word was made flesh.
All right. I want us to understand the Word was made flesh
and dwelt among us.
And
we beheld his glory.
And we beheld his glory.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Okay, full of grace and truth. This is who Jesus is. To take into consideration. Now, I want to lay a foundation here. The Word was made flesh. What does this mean? The Word of God that was spoken. When we talk about the words that we speak, those words have some kind of an effect, don't they? We say the words. You understand what I'm saying. The words that we have, they are action words. We can create literally a story with words, 26 letters in the alphabets, and we can put those in various forms with various punctuations, and we can create a story that can open up our imagination, that can make it whatever is on our mind. We can make a story and create something that really doesn't exist out of the words that we speak. All right? We can do that. There are what we call New York bestsellers, that there are books on the New York best-selling list because some author was able to take some words out of the 26 letters in the alphabet. He was able to take those words and bring those words to life. And he was able to make us, as we sit and read this book, as the nation or whoever reads this, the book that he's written, we're able to see the streets that he's talking about. We're able to see the things that he has created in his mind that don't even exist. They are fiction. They are a work of fiction, but they came out of the mind of an individual. And because they come out of the mind of an individual, they have created an atmosphere that we can actually cry about something that's not even real. We can laugh about something that's not real. We can picture in our mind through the words that have been used. We can picture in our mind what he's talking about. What's there? The world that he has created through words. All right? Now, if we go back into Genesis and we read in Genesis, we read a little bit, I believe, a Sunday or so ago, but we're going to read it again here. It says in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So now what we have is not a man or a human being that is created a world or an atmosphere with his words, as we would say on the novels or the New York best-selling list and whatnot. We don't see that, but we can actually take it and create something by building this. But here is what God has done. He's taken words and he has created the world with words. But it's not just any words that he created the world with. He, in the first three verses in Genesis, what we say, God, in the beginning, God, that's the first thing.
God the Father, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And how did he do it? He gives us a scenario, an understanding of how he, through his imagination, you might say, I don't know what else to call it, an imagination that God has, he gives us an understanding of what the world that he's created and how he did it. And he said, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was over them on the face of the deep, and the Spirit. So now we have, first of all, we have God the Father. Alright? He is number one here. So we have God the Father. And it says, and God created. In the beginning was God. Then what we have, and it says here, the Spirit. The Spirit moved. So you've got the Godhead here. You have God the Father, and then you have the Spirit moved upon the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So you have God the Father and the Spirit working together. And then it says, and God said, and so you have the Word of God. So you have the Word of God here, and it says, and God said, let there be light. And between the three of them, when he spoke the Word into existence, what we have here, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that was spoken out of the mind of God. It was the Word of God. And so the Word, what you have here is God the Father, the Spirit of God. Say God the Father here. God the Father, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. And so the Word, the Scripture says, is what created with God this world that we live in. And as we read the rest of it, what we understand is this is not fiction. This is not just a theory that somebody has decided that we think that we're going to be creationists and we're going to determine in our minds that there must have been some being. We believe by the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, that God himself created this world. It has nothing to do with evolution. It has nothing to do with Darwin's theory. God said, the Spirit moved, and it was so. And as you go down in the rest of it, we see how, through, you might say, the Word of God, we see how this world was created. And we believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that that is really the only logical way for this world to have come into existence. But now, this Word that was spoken, just the words that we speak, this Word that was spoken was made flesh. It is something now that we need. We have the ability to see, not just hear. The words that were, and the power behind the words, and we take into consideration the power behind the words. The Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And you see this massive light, and it's still in existence today. There's some power in the Word of God. Because it worked, didn't it? When he said something, he meant what he said, and it obeyed him, and it did. It brought those things that Jesus, that God spoke, it brought them to life. But let me tell you, what I want to call this sermon here is the gift of the Word. All right? The gift of the Word. So we have a gift, which is the gift of the Word of God, and it's more than just Word. Just take for an instance, for a moment. Think for a moment if there was no such thing as words. As the words that I am speaking, everybody here understands what I'm saying. And there is this communication that we have due to the words that are being spoken and your understanding those words. That's a gift, isn't it? All right? We're going to pick that up a little bit later on. I want us to go on down and lay the foundation here. 1 John 1, verse 1. 1 John, read it, please. 1 John 1, verse 1. Yes, 1 John.
1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning.
Now, we were just talking about that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? He did it by the Word of God. So he's bringing these things to our understanding that we said in the beginning, this is all the way back. It's not just what happened in Bethlehem. This is something that goes back even further than Bethlehem. It goes back to before you and I were created. It goes back to before the world was created. It says here, in the beginning,
that which was from the beginning,
which we have heard. So it was the words. We have heard it. We heard it, he said.
We've heard the word. It was from the beginning. We've seen it with our eyes.
Which we have looked upon.
We've looked upon.
And our hands have handled.
Our hands have handled it. Now, you know what? That's something that is more intense to me, more intimate. Because, in essence, I can read something. I can show you anybody that has the ability to read. We can hear the word that is spoken. We can sound it out phonetically, and we can understand it from that standpoint. And then we can see it, and we know that if we, Y-E-L, or any one of these words, we know that this is God. We can see it. We can hear it when it's spoken about. But what about holding it? What about handling it? There is something that goes a little bit more. The Lord says, I want you to have something that is deeper, that's more intimate. I want you to understand that from the beginning, you're now able to touch it. You're able to handle it. It is something that's real. It is not just theoretical. It's not just words that were spoken. It is something that you can feel. This is Jesus the Christ. This is the Word of God incarnate. This is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now what John is saying to us, he said, we heard it, we saw it, now we've handled it. So this is an eyewitness that you and I know that there is such a man named Jesus that was born into the world, that was born of a Virgin Mary. He lived for 33 years. He died on a cruel cross. This is what we celebrate because he's our Redeemer. He's the Savior of the world. He's gracious. He's our friend. He's everything that we ever need. Isn't that wonderful? All right? So, read.
Of the Word of
Life. Okay, all right.
The life was manifested.
So he's not just talking about something dead on words that I have to concoct in my mind by my imagination and trying to understand. He said it is life. This is who Jesus is. It's life, right? The Word of life. All right, read.
And we have seen it.
We've seen it. Oh.
And we bear witness.
I'm the witness. I believe what John saw. I believe what he touched. What did he say? Was it to Thomas? He said, Thomas, come here. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. But you know what? You and I, none of us have seen Jesus necessarily face to face that we know of. That we know of. But Thomas was able to do it. He said, listen, Thomas, I want you to stick your hand in my side. I want you to feel the nail prints that were in my hand. I want you to be able to handle this word. I want you to handle it and understand, be not faithless, but believe. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Right? Read.
And bear witness.
And bear witness.
Unto you that eternal life.
That's true unto you that eternal life.
Which was with the Father.
Which was with the Father.
And was manifested unto us.
It was manifested unto us.
That which we have seen.
That which we have seen.
And heard.
We saw it. We heard it. We declare the Word of God unto you. Do you realize that the Word of God is life? It is what has, you know, I remember when I was in sin, I remember being forced to do the things that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do those things. But I was forced to do them because there was something in me that was causing me to sin more or less every day. But then I got a hold of the Word of God and it became real to me and it became something that I could embrace and something that I could hold on to and something that was real to me. And when I did that and I invited Him in my heart, I realized and I understood that there was liberty. That's the only time that I've ever had true liberty was when I invited the Lord into my heart. And I can still not sin today if I don't want to. And I don't want to, and I don't. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Remember when you had to? When you were just sick and tired of being sick and tired? And then the Lord came and it was real, and you could embrace that which is real because Jesus came down. He's not just this arbitrary character in some storyline. He is the Word. He is the Word. He is everything that I need. He's everything that I've ever wished for. And Lord, help us to establish, to have an understanding. You know, there are some things that, some words. Have you ever read a book and there are some words that you don't understand? You have to go to a dictionary and get a depth of understanding and you realize, you come to the understanding, oh, that was the perfect word for explaining that. But it's not really something that you use all the time. Do you realize that there are some things that we kind of get into a habit of using, spiritually speaking? But there are the vocabulary of the word, spiritually speaking. The vocabulary of the word,
far exceeds. It is abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's far more. Lord, help us to go to your word and get a hold of the spiritual vocabulary that I can stand on your word at any time. We can do that by the help and the grace of God. This is the time of the year that we celebrate the gift of the word. Can you imagine if you couldn't read how handicapped you would be if you didn't understand the words that you see on the board, or the words that you see in a magazine, or the words that you see on a street sign? You're illiterate, and you can't understand it, and we can't tell you to go up to Lake June and turn left and go down to you. We can't tell you that, can we? Because you can't read. Do you know some folks are, it's like being a blind man, right? What's the point? Well, go up there until you see this, and you got to go with a different way because you don't understand the words. Do you realize that some people are spiritually illiterate? Some people don't understand what it means. The gift of the word. Lord, help us. Amen. It's a gift. All right, read.
That ye also may have fellowship with us.
And truly our fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father.
And with his
Son, Jesus Christ. All right, how do we have it? Only by the Spirit of God. All right, that we have fellowship. And these things
write
we unto you,
that your joy
may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is a mystery in darkness, isn't it? You don't know what's there. There's a little bit of apprehension that we have when we walk into a dark place and we don't know what's there. We go a little bit. We're a little bit more cautious, aren't we? But you know, what was the first thing that we read in Genesis? God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, what was the first thing that he said? Let there be light. All right, and what happened? Did it spark and sputter and then die down and then spark and sputter again and kept trying? And after the fifth or sixth try, and it was light? No, when he said, let there be light, there was light. Just like if we go to the light switch and we turn on the light, what do we expect? We expect it to sputter a little bit, and you know sometimes these fluorescent lights do that, don't they? They sputter a little bit and blink on, blink off, blink on, and blink off, and we leave it on, it turns on. But you know what? God's word is much greater than that. He said when he flicks on the light, he said, let there be light, he said the word is done. This is why you and I need to understand that the word of God is something that we can stand on, we can depend on it. It is beneficial to us, and we can stand on the word. It's God's gift to us. It's God's gift to us. All right? It's the way that we explain things. And do you know, as we explain why we live the way that we live, when you put Christ at the center of it, everything makes sense. You know, I was thinking in meditation the other day, the Lord brought to my mind, he said that, you know, there were five virgins. There were ten virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. And as they were going about doing their business and going to the same place, all of them were going to the same destination, endeavoring to go to the same destination, the five wise were doing something that the five foolish thought was foolish.
Right.
Or they would have been doing it themselves. So they thought it was foolish, and they looked and they said, you know what, you don't have to do all of that. All of that stuff that you're doing is not necessary, and it seemed like a wise choice to make make your load a little lighter until they got to the end. And when they got to the end, they saw what looked to be foolish to be the very wise thing to do, and they realized that they were the ones that were foolish. Sometimes we come to places like that, don't we? Sometimes the Lord has to open up our understanding and say, listen, you might think that this is foolish, but when you put Christ at the center, that he is the center point, and I've got to go to heaven, I've got to make certain that he's pleased with everything that I'm doing. When you do that, it's not so foolish anymore, is it? Lord, help us. All right, we'll go on a little further. Now, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I want to read the fifth verse. Have it read it for us, please.
There is one God.
There is how many gods?
One God.
One God.
One,
how many mediators? One mediator.
God and man.
There's one mediator between God and man.
And Christ,
the man Christ Jesus,
who gave himself,
this is the gift that he's given. He gave himself. He did not give some gift. And the sister brought out a point. It's one of those gifts that keeps on giving. You know, I got it over 30 years ago and I still like it. It's still beneficial to me. It's not old. I haven't gotten old yet. It haven't gotten to be something that I want to discard. You know, there have been plenty of Christmas gifts that I've had, and I don't even know what they are. You've given them to me. People have given them to me, and they're wonderful gifts, and I use them for the moment, and I lose them. They're not so important for me to be able to hold on to. But this gift, I've held on to. And it's been the best thing that has ever happened to me. When you really get it like you need it, let me tell you, some folks don't get it like they need it. Some folks don't understand the depths of what they're endeavoring to get. When you get it like you need it, you'll never discard it. Never. You'll understand. It changes the way you think. It changes your mind. And if it hasn't changed your mind, not just initially, but it changes the way you look at everything. It's the greatest gift of all. It's the gift of the Word. Now, it says here in this scripture, one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He's a man. So we come back to what it's saying here, the Son of Man, the Son of God. So he says there is a man. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was our gift. It was what God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son as a gift to us. Didn't have to do it. Just like, you don't have to give gifts out today, do you? You don't have to do it. Why do you do it? Because you have a love and appreciation to every person that you're giving it to, generally speaking. Some folks, you may feel like you have a duty to do it. Well, they gave me one last year, so I'm going to give them one. But generally speaking, we give it because there is a love that we have for the person to which that's receiving it. All right? And we look at it and we say, you know, oh, this looks just like, did you do that? This looks just like so-and-so, I'm going to get this for them. Don't you think that they'll like this? Yeah, they'll like it because there's something that they need. So we, in the same way, this is what Jesus did. You know, a lot of folks went shopping. I just happen not to be one of those shoppers. But Jesus went, God went, what did he do? He went shopping. What did he say? He looked for a man that could stand in the gap, and he couldn't find one. So what did he do? He created, you might say, one. God's creation, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Because there was no man that could do it after he went shopping to all of mankind and looking around. There was nobody that could stand in the gap for you and I but Jesus Christ. So he's the mediator between God and man. Now how do I understand you and how do you understand me? There is something that mutually we have. There is something called language. There is something called words. That for me to understand you and you understand me, we both have something in common, which is the words that we speak. So the words that I'm saying to you are words that are common to you that you understand, and there's something that I understand. So now this goes with any kind of communication. So what we communicate is, here you understand what I'm saying, I understand what you're saying. We come together and we mediate and we come to a level of communication because of words. In the same way, the mediator, Christ, part God, part man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, there is this mutual understanding that I can understand God now because there is something that we both have in common. There is this word that I go through and I express to Christ the Word of God, and he takes that word, he intercedes for me, and he takes it to the Father, and the Father understands my predicament and my situation because the Son is able, by the Word, to express it to the Father. And then we come back, the Son brings it from the Father and expresses it to us that this is the will of my Father. And we can understand it. And he mediates between us because we have something in common. It's just as much mine as it is God's. He is the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. He is part divine. And he is God incarnate, but he is man also. And as a result of that, we understand God. Isn't that wonderful? Do you understand the gift that keeps giving? And when I don't understand something, when you don't understand something, what do? Lord, I don't understand why you're taking me through all of this. Why am I having to deal with what I'm dealing with? Life is so hard. Life is just not what I wanted it to be. And then you take it to the Son. You take it to the Word. You go to the Word. And the Word comes back and it speaks to you. This is the will of the Father. It's a little bit better. Father, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I went through this for you. You go through it for me. It's just for the present. It's just for, it's a light affliction. I want you to understand that. And it's just for a present moment. It's just like that. And if you can just hold out for that much longer, then it's going to be okay. Because you're going to be able to go and live with me throughout all eternity. That's what the Word tells us. So when I'm going through something difficult that seems like it's unfair, and maybe even in my opinion unrighteous, Lord, why? And the Lord comes back to me through the gift of the Word, and He explains and expresses it to me, then it makes sense to me. And I appreciate it, and I love it. Because I understand who He is, and what He is, and what He means. And what God, because there is the break that took place with sin that Adam and Eve committed. There was a break in, there were two different languages that were spoken. It was God, the God language, and it was the carnal language of sinful man. And God couldn't be in the presence. So what did He do? He found something that could mediate. Something that was in between. It was not just gestures. Not just sign language or silent. It was something that was real. That was put to action. That meant something to you. Meant something to me. Meant something to Him. The Word that had power. The Word that was spoken. Let there be light. And the Lord, He said, let there be light. And there was light. In the natural sense and in the spiritual sense. Sometimes we need the Lord to give us spiritual light, don't we? Lord, open up my understanding. Give me spiritual understanding. And the Lord does that, doesn't He? All right. It's the language of God broken down to man's level. Our understanding. All right, I want to read Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
When as His mother Mary
was espoused to Joseph,
before they came together,
she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man,
and not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately.
While he thought on
these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David,
fear not
to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
And she shall bring forth a son.
Thou shalt call his name Jesus,
for he shall save
his people from their sins. Not in them, from them, all right?
Now all this was done
that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child,
and shall bring forth a son.
They shall call his name Emmanuel,
which being interpreted
is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep,
did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him,
and took unto him his wife,
and knew her not
till she had brought forth her firstborn son,
and he called his name Jesus,
our gift. Mary had him, but it's our gift. So he said, what is the gift really? To call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God wanted to be with his people in a way that he couldn't be with them before. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he walked in the cool of the garden, and they walked in commune with him. But because of sin, he couldn't do it anymore. There was a temple and tents and whatnot that he would go. They could go in the Holy of All, but he couldn't be with the normal people. Like he wanted to. So he said, I'm going to make this mediator that we're talking about. This gift of the Word is really not just a gift of the Word. It's a gift of myself. It's what God is saying. So Jesus is born of a virgin Mary. And the purpose that he's born, you shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. That was the problem to begin with. Sin. And so in order to bring us
back in the presence of God, he had to be able to annihilate, eliminate, destroy the works of the devil, and to be manifest to bring about the works of God. Yeah. All right? All right, so bring forth the Son. He shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. So he set them right again so that we could go into the presence of God individually and collectively. Isn't that wonderful? It's our gift. It's like a key that's been given to us that we could go with Jesus into the presence of God. It's the word of God that was given to us that we can understand what God means to us when I'm going through something that I don't understand. God translates it in his, from his language, so to speak, to ours, to where we can understand it, that he came down all the way from heaven, and he came down, his word was literally made flesh, just like a man, just like you and I, so that he could teach us how to be like him. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. All right, we're almost done. Now, Isaiah 9, verse 6, let's read that. Familiar text. All of these are familiar texts, scriptures.
Unto
who is a child born? Us. Who does that mean? Me, you, the whole world. Unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
We learned about it in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? The government shall be upon whose shoulders? His.
And his name shall be called.
His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. We wrote that, didn't we? Wonderful Counselor. The mighty God,
the everlasting
Father, Prince of Peace,
of the increase of his government and peace,
yes,
of his government
and peace,
there shall be no end.
Now, I want to say this. You know what? It doesn't really matter anytime somebody has a little baby. Everybody is happy around them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just something about little babies that we just love. And it's just something about when somebody, oh, such and such, they had a little boy, or they had a little girl. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, he's such a cute. He's one, but it's really something else when it's yours, isn't it? But we all love them. We all love the babies. And you know what? Sometimes we have little church babies here out here, don't we? If you're not careful, you don't know who the mama is, because everybody has them. Or everybody has them, and they're sitting with this one this time, they're sitting with somebody else some other time, because everybody loves the little babies, don't they? But it's because we feel like they're our babies. We feel some a kindred, something special. We're not even related to the children. But we see people carrying them and celebrating the birth of this child. And in the same way, unto who is a child born? To us. It's my little baby. It's Jesus came and was born for me. He came and he lived for me. He came and he died for me. You can say the same thing. You can say it for me, for you. But we understand that that's what he did, and he did it for us. It is a personal thing. This gift of the Word of God is not a selective gift, even though it's extremely valuable. Even though it's something that is beyond anything that man could ever, there is no money. Bill Gates, and put all the money, put Oprah's money, put Bill Gates' money, put all the other ones that are in the top 10 or whatever. You put it all together, the billions and the deficit. You flip it upside down, trillions of dollars, you give it all. It's not worth, it doesn't even come close to being worth what Jesus' blood is. It's a valuable gift. And it's something that he just freely gives it to us. If somebody started just walking out, handing out $1 million bills, would anybody here decline it? I want to see your hand. If there was such a thing. They said, listen, what's your bank account? We're gonna wire $1 million into your account. How many folks in here? Little Evan would have a bank account. Little Xavier would have a bank account, wouldn't he? All of us would have bank accounts. I'd have two or three of them. Which one do you want to put it in? Because it's something of value to us, isn't it? Well, in the same way, Jesus is just going around handing out little invitations
is something that's far more valuable than anything that have you accepted? Did you open up your account? Did you open up your heart? Did you say, listen, Lord, I want what you have for me because I realize the value of the gift of the word. It's just a gift. He's given it to, on this Christmas day, he's given it to everybody. But only the ones that open up their hearts can receive it. What do we find out in one of the stories? They went to the inn to have, I don't know why somebody didn't get out of their bed and said, listen, there's a woman out here that's about to have a baby. Would you get out of your bed and give them your room? And nobody would do it. They didn't realize the value of what was taking place out in the stable. You know, sometimes the Lord, in his own way, comes kind of covertly. Lord, help us to see the value of this gift. All right. 1 John 3:16. I'm just saying John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I want to read 1 John 3:16. We have known and believed the love that God hath unto us.
God is love.
God is love. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave us the gift of the word. All right? He that dwelleth in love
dwelleth in
God. And God in him. That's 1 John 3:16. Okay, that's a good one that you said, though. Hereby perceive we the love of God. What did you just read? 4:16. That was good, too. The Lord did that. All right. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. See, God gave his Son. Jesus, his Son, gave his life. He didn't have to. God didn't have to give the Son, and the Son didn't have to give his life. But we understand and we realize and know the love of God. We perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lord, help us. Now, you know, have you ever given somebody a token gift? It's just a token gift. One of the things that the children have to do this time at their school, they have to bring a $5 gift certificate. You can't buy a whole lot with a $5 gift certificate. But everybody got a $5 gift certificate. Isn't that? And everybody, it was just kind of a little token gift. You can't get very much of any value for $5 anymore. But it was a token gift. But this is far beyond that. And I'm almost finished. We're at the end. The gift of God. That's 1 John 5:20. And then someone get us Romans 6:23. 1 John 5:20.
We
know that the Son of God is come
and hath given us an understanding
that we may know him that is true,
and we are in him
that is true,
even in his Son,
Jesus Christ.
This is the true God.
This is eternal life. So he's given us understanding. How do we understand? Generally speaking, we understand through words. Through action. We understand through words put in action. We understand how much love a person has for us. Not necessarily by the words that he says, but what he does. Because sometimes folks say they love you, but they don't. He said in the word, he says, how can you say you love me and do not the things that I say? But those words that are put into action. So what we see here is God giving us understanding of what we're to have and what we're to do. And that understanding is put into action. And what does it say at the end of it is eternal life. One more scripture, Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death,
but the gift of God
is eternal life.
How do we get eternal life? Through Jesus Christ, his Son. The gift of the Word. The gift of the Word that keeps giving from the time, from thousands of years ago, really the beginning of time, to today. May we embrace it. May we love it. May we accept it with all of our hearts. Pray for me. Let us stand.
Let's sing again, Joy to the World.